All right, so this morning what we have for you is that the Lord spoke to my heart is we're going to go over the story of the resurrection. I feel like that's really important because often we just pull out a little text and then we just emphasize on that for most of the service. But this morning I really want to walk through the encounter that happened on what we celebrate to be the Resurrection Sunday. So you're going to be going to Luke 24. You'll want to go there in your scriptures, your phones, whatever you use to be able to pull up the word of the Lord. And we're going to be going to Luke 24. Luke 24. But very early on Sunday morning, they took the ointments to the tomb and found that the huge stone covering the entrance had been rolled aside. So they went in, but the Lord Jesus' body was gone. They stood there, puzzled, trying to think what could have happened to it. Suddenly, two men appeared before them, clothed in shining robes so bright that their eyes were dazzled. The women were terrified and bowed low before them. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking in a tomb for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He has come back to life again. Don't you remember that he told you back in Galilee that the Messiah must be betrayed into the power of evil men and be crucified, and that he would rise again the third day?" Then they remembered and rushed back to Jerusalem to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. The women who went to the tomb were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and several others. But the story sounded like a fairy tale to the men. They didn't believe it. However, Peter ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings, and then he went back home again, wondering what had happened. That same day, Sunday, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles out of Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking of Jesus' death, when suddenly Jesus himself came along and joined them and began walking beside them. But they did not recognize him, for God kept them from seeing it. "You seem to be in a deep discussion about something," he said. "What are you so concerned about?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. And one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about the terrible things that happened here last week." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," he said. "He was a prophet who did incredible miracles and was a mighty teacher, highly regarded by both God and man. But the chief priest and our religious leaders arrested him and handed him over to the Roman government to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had thought that he was the glorious Messiah and that he had come to rescue Israel. And now, besides all of this, which happened 3 days ago, some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning and came back with an amazing report that his body was missing and that they had seen some angels there who told them that Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran to see, and sure enough, Jesus' body was gone, just as the women had said. And then Jesus said to them, 'You are such foolish, foolish people. You find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted by the prophets that the Messiah would have to suffer all of these things before entering into a time of glory?' And then Jesus quoted them passage after passage from the writings of the prophets, beginning with the book of Genesis and going right on through the scriptures, explaining what the passages meant and what they said about himself. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus at the end of their journey. Jesus would have gone on, but they begged him to stay the night with them, as it was getting late. So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he asked God's blessing on the food, and then he took a small loaf of bread and broke it. and was passing it over to them, when suddenly it was as though their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and at that moment he disappeared. They began telling each other how their hearts had felt strangely warm, and he talked with them and explained the scriptures during the walk down the road. Within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem, where the 11 disciples and the other followers of Jesus greeted them with these words, "The Lord has risen! He has appeared to Peter!" And then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road, and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them and greeted them. But the whole group was terribly frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. "Why are you frightened?" he asked. "Why do you doubt that it is really I? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see that it is I myself. Touch me and make sure that I am not a ghost. For ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do." And as he spoke, he held out his hand for them to see the marks of the nails and showed them the wounds in his feet. Still, they stood there, undecided, filled with both joy and doubt. Then he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. Then he said, "When I was with you before, don't you remember me telling you that everything written about me by Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must all come true?" And then he opened their minds to understand at last these many scriptures. And he said, "Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah must suffer and die and rise again from the dead on the third day, and that the message of salvation should be taken from Jerusalem to all the nations. For there is forgiveness of sins for all who turn to me. You have seen these prophecies come true, and now I will send the Holy Spirit upon you, just as my Father promised. Don't begin telling others yet. Stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." And then Jesus led them out along the road to Bethany, and lifting his hands to heaven, he blessed them, and then began rising into the sky and went on to heaven. Just as they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem, they were filled with mighty joy and were continually in the temple praising God.
Hallelujah.
That is the powerful story of the resurrection, and is the reason why we have gathered here today to declare and decree and to agree with the scriptures, with the word of God, and with saints all over the world that our God is not dead, he is alive, very much alive. For he left us the power of the Holy Spirit, the abiding presence of God inside of us, to be able to equip us with everything that we needed to live out a powerful life in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and demonstration of the resurrection of God. Paul declared in 1 Corinthians 15, if you want to go there quickly, we're going to read just a few things from there. And then I'm going to come back and talk to you more about the resurrection power of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. So we're going to be going to 1 Corinthians 15, and I'm going to read a few passages there. 1 Corinthians 15 and 1. "Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news that I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. It is the good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message that I told you, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true to you in the first place. I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me, that Christ died for our sins, just as the Scripture said. He was buried and was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the Scripture said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James, and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him, for I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way that I persecuted God's church. Verse 12. But tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are you saying that there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all of our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless, and we apostles would all be lying about God. For we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are to be more pitied than anyone in the world. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. But there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest, and then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes again. The resurrection is a fact of history. It's not something that someone dreamed up. It's a fact of historians. And there are plenty of witnesses to verify the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not a myth, a fairy tale, a fantasy, or something that we write in a storybook. It is the very life and the very truth of God's Word that has so impacted our lives that we are here today, and those all around the world have gathered in villages, in large churches, small churches, churches of hollers of West Virginia, little places, one or two or three people joining together, celebrating, some in greater facilities, some in greater with greater amounts of people. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ is being celebrated today. The world is stopped to say he is not dead. He has risen from the dead. And not only has he risen, not only was there fact by the 500 witnesses, by the apostles, all of whom were willing to give their life for the cause of Christ, a magnificent demonstration of the reality of faith within themselves. The fact that the gospel has spread all over the world, and that there is no place where it has not reached the hearts and the minds, for even the creation itself declares that God has risen. For the Bible says that the creation itself groans, waiting for the day of its deliverance. And because of Christ on the cross and the empty tomb being raising from the dead, it too shall declare a day of freedom and liberty from the curses that were placed on it because of Adam's sin. I find it absolutely amazing that Jesus wore a crown of thorns, for thorns were the very thing in Genesis that proved the curse upon all creation. And the thorns on his head, a symbol also that the earth and all of the creation would be renewed. God is an amazing God. Everything, dotting every I, crossing every T, fulfilling every purpose of his heart. There are so many secret, hidden mysteries, even within the Bible, that are being demonstrated, and that things that are coming to light through the revelation power of the Spirit that people don't even know yet. Because the Bible lives, because our Christ lives, because our God lives. There is no limit to the things that you can know or understand by the power of God's Spirit. The Spirit of God bringing forth so much revelation and so much knowledge and so much understanding that you can't even exhaust the knowledge of God. So powerful is the Word because of the Spirit of God that brings revelation to it, that we are always learning, always growing, always seeing something different about our God that we have never seen before. We can pull up the Scriptures over and over again and find more and more information about our God because of the living Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit that has been dispersed because He lives. It is glorious. Magnificent and wonderful what God has done and the things that He continues to do, to continue to convince through the power of the Spirit to a world of unbelievers. As much of the gospel that has been dispersed throughout the world, there are still people lost, still people searching, still people in need of this resurrection and of life and the resurrection of the Savior of Jesus Christ. So we must declare it and preach it and live it. We must be a demonstration ourselves of that same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. I love the fact that the apostles, one by one, were so convinced absolutely of who He was that they were all willing to give their life. Each one of them giving up their life for the spreading of the gospel. I want to go through just a few of the apostles. Simon Peter, who was appointed by Jesus the leader of the new sect, is viewed by Rome Catholics as the first pope and was eventually martyred in Rome during the reign of the Emperor Nero. As the story goes, Peter's asked to be crucified upside down so that his death would not be equal to that of Jesus. Simon Peter, who in this very opening text talks about how he saw Jesus personally, that when the witnesses came back from Emmaus, that Peter had already seen Jesus. That means at some point, at some time, Jesus had manifested Himself alone to Peter. Peter, the one that had forsaken Him. Peter, the one that had denied that He even knew Him. God made sure, both written in the text, in Corinthians and also in the text on Luke 24, that He came to Peter alone at some point and made Himself known. His love and His concern for Peter was so great that he be restored and be brought back into fellowship with Christ, that Jesus made sure that He revealed Himself to him and then to the other disciples and then to those two followers of Christ on the road to Emmaus. But then He went even further, revealing Himself to over 500 witnesses, showing that He Himself was alive. Peter, this one who had denied Him, that Christ had made Himself known to him in a special way, in a way that so demonstrated to Peter that God had loved him and forgiven him for the things that he had done. Peter went on to request, historians say, to be crucified upside down so that he would not die like his Lord. So great was the sold-out faith. He died during the time of Nero. Anybody that's went to see the Apostle Paul, it's like a bloodbath in that movie. You have people in that movie who absolutely were so convinced. And this had been many years that were gone by, so some of them had never seen Christ. They'd never seen Paul. They had never seen all of the apostles, because the apostles began to scatter and go to different parts so that they could preach the gospel to the world as Jesus commanded them to do. Their bodies were lit on fire as they were torches for the pavement. My daughter and I went to watch the movie. She cried during the whole entire time. But I want to tell you that your faith is a faith of strength. It is a faith of power. It is a faith of anointing. So convinced that they were, that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. So convinced and so in love with Him. Let me just emphasize, scarcely wherefore a good man will one die. But to be in love with the Master, to be in love with Him to the place that you're willing to allow yourself to be crucified upside down so that you would just not bring any reproach or be anything that would compare to what Christ has done, is a powerful demonstration of the resurrection power of Jesus. This is the power that you have inside of you. It is not something to take lightly or to squish down or to cast. cast aside or to not listen to or heed or follow. The power of the Holy Spirit living inside of you is the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. They say that Andrew went on to be scourged and then tied rather than nailed to a cross so that he would suffer for a longer time in his dying. He lived for 2 days, historians say. And in living for 2 days on a cross, he proclaimed Jesus Christ for the entire time. James, we know, also, aka James the Greater, says that James was killed with a sword. The newly appointed governor of Judea, Herod Agrippa, decided to have him killed and persecuted. After James was arrested and led to a place of execution, his unnamed accuser was moved by his courage. And he not only repented and converted because of the faith of James, but he also, that historians say, was executed alongside of James because of his faith and his trust in God. John was the only one of the original apostles to not die a violent death. Instead, he passed away peacefully in Patmos at an old age. On and on, I could read of the apostles and how that each one of them gave their life. The only one to deviate from the faith was Judas, who had remorse, not repentance, and went and hung himself. These followers of Christ were so convinced and so aware because Jesus had opened up the scriptures. Can you imagine what it must have been like to be there with the Lord and to go from Genesis all through the scriptures, all through the words of the prophets, and to be able to have Christ himself unfold the scriptures to you and to show you the revelation of the fulfillment of the prophecies through himself? Can you imagine what a powerful demonstration that was of all the plan and the mystery and the wonder that had been spoken of from the beginning of time, the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world, now being brought open in a way that you could understand it and receive it. It just being peeled back layer by layer and to the place that it was so convincing to them that they knew that he was the Messiah, they knew that he was the Son of God, they knew that he was deity, they knew that he had risen from the dead, and they were going to proclaim it to the world. And because of their message, their confidence, you're here today. Jesus said one thing that was very important at the end of Luke 24. He said it was necessary that they go to Jerusalem to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. That it was imperative that they be empowered and equipped by the Holy Spirit. How does the resurrection affect you? We know how it affected the apostles. We know how it affected the disciples. We know that we are a result of the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ going all over the world because we are here today and we have claimed Jesus as our Savior, believing Him and trusting in Him. How does this resurrection power that Christ has given to us through the Holy Spirit, how does that affect us on a daily basis? The Holy Spirit was poured out on Acts 2, 1 through 4. And Jesus said it was imperative that they go to Jerusalem so that they could experience the power of the Holy Spirit, so that they would be clothed, endued with power from on high, so that they would be equipped and ready to go and to minister all over the world. Paul said it like this in Romans 8, 11 through 14. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He, the Holy Spirit, will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do, for if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. I want to focus here and take the time to be able to tell you, not only was that power of the resurrection given to Jesus to rise from the dead, but it was given to you so that you would be a walking example and a living testimony of the power of God through Christ Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the presence of God. He said, if the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then He will quicken your mortal body. It is through the power of the Spirit of the resurrected Christ, it is through the power of the Holy Ghost, that we have victory, that we have ability, that we can do things that other people cannot do. The Holy Spirit is the presence of God. It is the very life of God deposited in you. The Holy Spirit will never, ever lead you into sin. Because when He lives inside of you, He will always lead you into righteousness. He will always lead you into a deeper revelation of Himself. He will always reveal to you and show you things from the Scriptures that you've never seen before. The Holy Spirit is the life of God, the presence of God, the anointing of God, the grace of God living inside of you. He is the Spirit of truth. He is the voice that guides you into all things. He will walk with you, talk with you, abide with you, teach you, show you all things. He takes what is of God's and then He imparts it to you. The Holy Spirit takes that which is of God and imparts it to you. What does that mean? Just like they were walking down the road with Jesus and He was revealing to them the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit of God, when you open up the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will begin to show you things and teach you things and reveal to you things that you have never understood before by the power of the Spirit of God. For it is the very life source of God that rose Jesus from the dead. I'm concerned about a church who throws out the Spirit of God. I'm concerned about a people who's not operating in the Holy Ghost. I'm concerned about a people who are not seeing the power of the resurrection life of Jesus inside of them because they have said, we don't want the Holy Spirit's leading. We don't want His guiding. He demonstrates Himself in ways that we can't understand. We don't understand how God moves that way. How does God speak words of prophecy? How does God give words of knowledge? How does God heal the sick, raise the dead, set the captives free? It is through the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. I'm concerned about a people that don't walk in the Spirit of God. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives in me, lives in you. And there should be demonstration of that power in your daily lives. There should be a revealing of the greatness of God by the power of God every single day. You cannot exhaust His power. You cannot exhaust this book. You cannot exhaust the revelation of God. Every time you open it, every time you hear a song, every time you see a bird, every time you smell something, when you smell the honeysuckle, it's the goodness of God, the revelation of God. For He didn't have to give you the ability to be able to smell the beauty of the flowers, the scent of it. He didn't have to make food taste good, but He did because He's good. He didn't have to make the wind blow so it would cool the earth and demonstrate the majesty of His power. Every day in creation, it is declaring, my God lives! And if we will look, we will see it. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to you. It is the Spirit of God that gives wisdom. The Spirit of God that gives understanding. The Spirit of God that gives knowledge, interpretation. The presence of the living God is all around us in demonstration. If we look, we can see it. We can taste it. We can drink it in and give Him praise. Yes, the Holy Spirit gives revelation. How many times have you opened up the Bible and began to read and you've said, Holy Spirit, reveal to me the greatness of my God. All of a sudden you would see things that you've never seen before. And He would enlarge Himself in your sight. With tears streaming down your face or with a shout of praise, you would declare the greatness of your God because you have seen Him in a way that you have never seen Him before. He gives wisdom and understanding. All over the world, the gospel is being preached. And He's not just here in this church, but He's on a village somewhere in sand or in dust or in a tent. And He's making Himself known through the revelation of the Word of God that is going before. He's no respecter of persons. And whether you have a lot or a little, He's not just the God of America, but the God of the world. He is demonstrating Himself right now everywhere and showing Himself through teaching and preaching. He uses the foolish to confound the wise. He rejects the proud and the haughty. He casts them down. He makes Himself known to all who are looking for Him. And He will never snuff out a flickering ember or break a reed that is bruised. He is everywhere right now declaring His greatness through simple people, great educated people, making Himself known through the revelation of His power. He transforms and sanctifies. I'm not the same person that I was when I first started, and I thank God for that. I am so grateful that I'm not the 15-year-old bulimic cutting my wrist and being in depression all the time and being discouraged all the time. I'm glad I'm not self-absorbed and thinking about myself and how I can please my flesh all the time. I'm glad that our God is a God of resurrection power who transforms the believer. Don't get discouraged at the wee little ones. They're just coming along. They're still stumbling around. They're still trying to make their way. They're still trying to learn and understand the ways of God. Don't get discouraged because our God is a God who sanctifies. He has the power to transform a human life. And when I came to the Lord on that day, when I came to Him at an altar, when the altar call came when I was about 10 or 12 years old, I came up there just thinking, I don't know, I want more of Jesus. I want more of Jesus. I want to know Jesus. And I stumbled to that altar all the way up a pouting holler, up a creek somewhere, and where there was hardly anybody there in those hollers and creeks, but there was a church that was full of the resurrection power of God. And I made my way to that altar and I bowed on my knees and I began to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. He gave me the gift of tongues, the gift of interpreting tongues. He gave me gifts I didn't even know I had until later on. But He's a God who sanctifies. He's patient. He's bringing us through situations. He's raising us up. He's teaching us things. He's showing us things that we've never seen before. And He's changing us. He's going into the soul and the mind and the will and the emotion. And He's tearing out the lies of the enemy and the teachings of the world. And He's teaching them how to serve Him in spirit and in truth. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead sanctifies the believer, equips the church, and makes the church all over the world a powerful, powerful tool to bring forth the gospel. The Holy Spirit equips the church with apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, according to Ephesians 4 and 11. He equips the church for the building up of the church of the saints. He will call anyone who makes themselves available. He will take anyone who is willing to humble themselves and to bow before God. And then He will raise them up and with great power and authority begin to place them in positions and places where He can mature the body of Christ and teach them the ways of God. The Holy Spirit has imparted among His people gifts. Gifts in the church. This is the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. The gifts that are placed inside of you, that He has imparted to you, are used for the building up of the church. What are those gifts that He gave us through the power of His Spirit? The gift of wisdom. The gift of being able to speak a special message. The gift of great faith. The gift of healings. The gift of performing miracles. The gift of prophecy. The gift of discerning spirits. The gift of tongues. The gift of interpretation of tongues. In accordance with 1 Corinthians 12:4 and 11. These are demonstrations of the power of the resurrection that lives within the believer. These are gifts that He gave to equip the church. When they left that place, when they left Jerusalem, they were endowed with power from on high. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? Why? For the purpose of evangelizing the world. For the purpose of demonstrating that Christ lives. That He was the Messiah. That He was the one that took away the sins of the world. That He is the only entrance into the eternal kingdom. And that you must come through His blood to be able to see the eternal kingdom. This is why He equipped the church with such demonstrations of His power. The Holy Ghost is the very life of the resurrection power of Jesus living inside of you. He also placed within you His very fruit, the fruit of His presence. In accordance with Galatians 4, 22 and 24, the Bible says this, that He has placed in you through the Spirit of God, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the very characteristics of our God that should be demonstrated every day through the power of the Holy Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. All of these beautiful fruits should be in the Christian life, ever being developed by the Holy Spirit, being developed in circumstances and situations. Because sometimes you don't know if you got patience until you're in a situation where you have to wait. But He said, if that Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He will quicken your mortal body. You'll be able to flow in the spirit of patience and the fruit of it. For it's a characteristic of God's presence in your life. Yes, those who belong to Christ Jesus. In Galatians 24, it says, yes, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and the desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Yes, because He lives, we live. Because He lives, our lives should be a demonstration of the resurrected Christ every single day. We should stir one another in the gifts of the Spirit, in the fruit of the Spirit. We should encourage one another. We should love one another because that is a demonstration of His very presence. Yes, these are all the parts of the demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God that He has placed in you. Once again, let me read this in the Phillips translation. He said, but you are not carnal, but spiritual. If the Spirit of God finds a home within you. You cannot indeed be a Christian at all unless you have something of His Spirit living in you. Now, if Christ does live within you by His presence, His very life source, that means that your sinful nature is dead, but your spirit becomes alive because of the righteousness that He brings with Him. I said that our nature is dead in the presence of Christ. And so it is because of its sin. Nevertheless, once the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead lives within you. He will, by that same Spirit, bring you to your whole being into new strength and vitality. I love the fact that our God didn't just rise from the dead and demonstrate His power in such a magnificent way and didn't impart that to His people. He imparted His life, His strength, His anointing, His glory, His resurrection power in us. And that's what makes us different from everybody else on the face of the earth. There are two men in the Bible that declared something powerful. And I always pray this over my life. Moses said, "Do not take me out of here unless your presence goes with me. For how will I be known unless your presence go with me? How will I be distinguished among the people unless your presence goes with me?" And then Paul said in Philippians, in the third chapter, he said, "I desire to know God, to know the wonder of God, the mysteries of God, to perceive and recognize His person more clearly." These two men sought one thing: to know God with all of their heart, to seek Him, to live and breathe Him, because they knew that out of all the treasures of the entire world, nothing was greater than the treasure of Christ Himself. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Today you can be strong. You can walk in confidence. You can walk in anointing. You can walk in power because you have the life of the resurrection living inside of you. Stand to your feet with me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are so great and so magnificent. Hallelujah. Because I know that there are other people listening that are beyond the walls of this church, and they're going to be listening to this, and they're going to be saying, "I hear the story of how Christ rose from the dead. I know it's a fact of history. I know it's a demonstration. It has been demonstrated, and it has been spread throughout the entire world." And today, worshipers and followers of Christ all over the world are seeking and worshiping and declaring and decreeing that Jesus has risen from the dead. Because I know that there are those out there that are listening, they're saying, "How can I know this resurrected Savior? How can I walk in the Spirit of God and be transformed? How can I have my sins forgiven? How can I walk in this newness of life? How can I be a part of that?" Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day when you can walk in the freedom of the Holy Spirit, in the power of the resurrection of the Lamb. Today is the day of salvation. He says, if you confess your sins, He will be faithful to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And then He will fill you with His very presence, and He will manifest Himself to you in so many marvelous ways. He will give you gifts, the fruit of the Spirit, the presence of God, and He will walk with you. There will never be a time when He will leave you. Never. There will never be a time when He forsakes you. Never. Today is the day of salvation. If there's anyone here in this place and you desire to know Christ and you don't know Him, you desire to be a part of His kingdom, and today is the day when I would ask you to just raise your hand and be able to step forward and move forward and to receive Christ as your Savior.